Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for today is from Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21, and also chapter 19, verse 31, or chapter 19, verse 30. I'll read the Genesis account. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgressions of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Here ends our reading. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is true all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is useful. All Scripture is true. But all Scripture is not exactly equal in the sense of the story that it tells. If God's word were indeed a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, then some of those words shine just a little brighter than others. Some of those words provide greater clarity and comfort to us than others. It's hard to imagine doing without certain sections of Scripture, right? What would Christmas be like without angels saying glory to God in the highest? What would Easter be without the angels at the tomb saying he has risen? And what would this day be? How would Good Friday be different without our Lord's great summation of God's work from the cross as he cries out to Tetelestai, "It is finished"? Heaven and hell hang in the balance based upon that little phrase from the parched lips of our dying Lord, "It is finished." Famous last words they are. Without those words, we might be left to wonder, is our sin completely paid for? Is our salvation fully won? Or is there something more that we need to do to seal the deal? But with those words, we know for sure, it is finished. Here we have comfort and the certainty of our salvation. We have confidence before God because it is finished. All that would condemn us before our God and Father has been answered by the bloody death of our brother, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With his wounds, we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, Isaiah had prophesied. But you see, the brothers of Joseph had no such clarity as we do, no such comfort concerning the forgiveness of their sins. These jealous brothers had conspired to murder the brother they hated. Instead of doing it, though, they decided it was better to make a buck by selling Joseph into slavery. Better than to shed his blood. These sly siblings had gone so far as to tell their dear old father that his favorite son was dead, shredded and slain by a vicious animal. With brothers like that, we can say, who needs enemies? As we follow Joseph's journey during these 40 days of Lent, we've heard how Joseph's life was led by the Lord. Then we heard what should have been the happy ending, how Joseph saved his entire family from famine and forgave the sins of his big brothers. That should have been the happy ending. Even for those sinful brothers, they were forgiven. But now today we discover that Joseph's brothers have all along been doubting that forgiveness. You know how that feels. You know how awkward it can be when you've wronged somebody and you've reconciled and you believe it's over and past, but you're never quite sure. Or how that ache comes into your stomach when you've forgiven somebody for something they've done and you come upon them again, or they remind you of it by some action or doing, and the thoughts all creep back up into you. They assumed that Joseph's forgiveness had an expiration date on it, for it sounded way too good to be true. And you know, if it sounds too good to be true, well, it usually is too good to be true. So all these years later, 17 years have passed since last week's installment, if you will, of our texts, when their father Jacob died and the brothers figured all bets were off. Joseph's brothers became filled with dread. They thought that their father's death signaled their doom. Now they figured Joseph could dish out revenge and retribution without hurting their father in the process. It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him. Now the way was paved for Joseph to mete out punishment for the sins of his brothers. Now they would get what they truly deserved. It's hard not to feel some sympathy for Joseph's brothers at this point. In fact, if we're honest, we can surely identify with them, for we share their guilt. We share their shame. We share their sin. Our jealousy and hatred of others is not so different from theirs. If only perhaps more carefully concealed, more hidden in our hearts and our minds. We all have enemies we would gladly get rid of, especially if we could make a buck in the process, how much more? And we all know the pain of a prickly conscience, a conscience that relentlessly reminds us of our sins and makes our hearts heavy with fear and guilt and shame. Even after we've been told we're forgiven. Joseph's troubled brothers decided to take action. They manufactured a message from beyond the grave, a dying wish of their deceased father, that Joseph would forgive his brothers, forgive all their sins and their evil. And for good measure, Joseph's brothers all fell down on their knees and declared, "Behold, we are your servants." With these words, we can see where they went wrong in their quest for forgiveness. With those words, "We are your servants." The brothers were trying to bargain, hoping to cut a deal, aiming to engineer a great escape from their punishment that they deserved. We do it all the time. We vow to make things right, to work our way back into the good graces of those we've sinned against. We promise to do better, to pay off our debt, just like the prodigal son who on his way home had planned to ask his father to take him back as a hired hand. So we think we can clean up our own mess and earn our own forgiveness. Joseph would have none of it. Learn from Joseph to recognize and rejoice in the sacred source of all our forgiveness. "Am I in the place of God?" Joseph asked. Joseph's full and free forgiveness of his brothers was of divine origin, not of our flesh. If it is of God, if it is God's desire and delight to forgive sins, then who is Joseph to withhold forgiveness? By faith, Joseph saw what his guilty brothers could not see. "You meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good." What Joseph's brothers intended for evil, God used for good, that many lives should be saved. Can you believe this? Can you comprehend the wonders of Joseph's words? Do you dare believe this good news, this golden news, by which Joseph absolves his brothers? Can it really be that all the evil that gets thrown against us, from friends and foes alike, that God would take it all up into his own hands and somehow redirect it for our good? Can you see what Joseph saw? That behind the despicable sins of his brothers, God himself was at work for his good? That good news is never so plainly depicted and declared as it is on this holy day. We call it Good Friday. On this day, the good that God intended transcended the evil of man. Look at the crucifixion. Look at the cross of our Lord, and you will see it plainly. You will begin to understand and believe his glorious good news. Men intended that the cross was for evil. They wanted to kill the Son of God, get rid of him for good, silence him, destroy him. They lied. They gave false testimony against him. They perverted justice to engineer the execution of the Son of God. It was evil compounded upon evil. Evil to the nth degree. Bloody, blasphemous evil. And God used it for good. For our good. To save you and me. To save a world full of sinners. And to open the kingdom of heaven to all who believe. Tetelestai. It is finished. Every sin ever committed against you is atoned for in the death of Jesus. Every sin you've ever committed against another person is atoned for in the death of Jesus. It is finished. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, St. Paul tells us. In Christ, God was working all things for our eternal good. Sin and evil do not get the last word where we are concerned. Jesus does. Our Lord's last word is the best news. It is finished. Believe it. Receive it. Don't let a guilty conscience deceive you into doubting God's full, free forgiveness. Who are we to deny the forgiveness of our Lord won for us on the cross? Are we in the place of God? No. But God in Christ has taken our place, bore our griefs, and carried our sorrows, and it is finished. In Joseph's last interaction with his forgiven brothers, there's that moving, tender scene. Joseph, his eyes still wet with tears, gives his beloved brothers comfort and clarity that they craved oh so much. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph demonstrated in both words and actions his ongoing love and affection for his family. Joseph wanted to remove all doubts his brothers may have harbored about his forgiveness. The Lord Jesus does the exact same for us. Today in the church, the Lord Jesus not only forgives our sins, but also demonstrates that forgiveness with clarity and comfort, with ongoing love and affection. Jesus removes all doubt, for our Lord has declared it is finished and gave up his spirit. Moments later, a soldier's spear pierced his side, and at once there came out blood and water. That blood and water are still flowing here for us. Water that washes us clean in holy baptism. Blood that passes from the chalice to our sin-parched lips. In that water and blood is the forgiveness of sins. There, we have clarity, confidence and comfort. We have peace that passes all understanding. let there be absolutely no doubt today. It is finished. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.